Good morning and welcome to our online service. Tomorrow is the federal holiday of Memorial Day, when we remember those who have died in the times of war, those who have given their life for our country to pay the supreme price that we might have freedom. And we need to remember them especially and their families and recognize all that they have done for us. We owe a great debt of gratitude to them for their sacrifice and are able to live in freedom because of what they have done for us. We should also remember to pray for those who are presently serving in the military, serving our nation, and praying that they might be kept safe. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your grace and love to us. We thank you for our country and for the freedom that we enjoy. We think of all those who have given their lives that we might have this freedom, that we might live in liberty and be able to go about our normal life. And we do pray today, our Heavenly Father, that you will undertake for those who are still serving in the military, that you'll watch over them and keep them in your care. We just thank you so much for all that you are to us and pray that we might be faithful to you. We think also today of those who are suffering from this coronavirus that is going around and ask you to be with them and undertake for them and grant that they might have healing. At this time, we pray that soon this situation will improve and that we might be able to go about our life in a more casual way, in a more healthy way. May your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to announce today that beginning next Sunday, we plan to begin our services again here in person at the church, May 31st. We're resuming our regular schedule. Sunday school at 9:45 a.m., worship at 11, and the evening service at 6 p.m. Our Bible study and prayer meeting will be on Tuesday at 7 p.m. So everyone is invited and urged to attend. We will continue to have our services on the line as well for those who need to listen to it in that way. Our website is www.paulinebaptist.com for those who would need to look at the website. So we do intend to follow the guidelines laid down by the health officials and ask that everyone respect that when we meet here at the church. We're going to read from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Four of the books of the Bible are called the Gospels. The word gospel means good news, good tidings. These books give insight into the life of Jesus of Nazareth. They describe him from four different points of view. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels because they contain similar material that can be compared and studied. Matthew presents Jesus as the King. Luke emphasizes his humanity, the Son of Man. John centers in on his deity, the Son of God. Mark portrays Jesus as the servant of God, in accordance with the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah 42, where it speaks about him being the servant. He says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." So who is the author of this gospel? First of all, we know that the Holy Spirit is the author. He's the one who inspired the writing of all the books of the Bible. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Now the human author was a disciple named Mark. Most commentators believe it was John Mark, the son of a Christian lady named Mary, who lived in Jerusalem and opened her home for the church to meet there. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." So this lady opened up her house to the church where they could meet there and worship the Lord. John was his Jewish name, meaning the Lord has been gracious. You know, there are many people named John in the scriptures, and this one is John Mark. Mark was his Roman name, meaning a large hammer. I don't know where they got that name, but maybe he was hard-headed, I'm not sure. He was a nephew of Barnabas, Paul's partner in mission, as he went out to preach the gospel from place to place. Barnabas was the one who introduced Paul to the church to begin with. You know, he had been one to persecute the church before, and the people were reluctant to receive him. And so Barnabas spoke up for Paul and got him into good graces with the church and all of the leaders. And Mark was a nephew of Barnabas. And he went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey from Jerusalem out into the Gentile countries. But for some reason, he did not finish the trip. Somewhere along the way, he returned to Jerusalem And so Paul then refused to take him on the next missionary journey when they were going out again. And Barnabas took Mark with him on a separate mission. Paul and Barnabas have a falling out, if you will. They have a little argument about it, but it ended up being two missionary teams going out instead of one. So that worked out very well. Years later, we find Paul and Mark reconciled. Paul said he needed Mark to come and to be with him. Speaks very highly of him as a useful servant of the Lord. Mark is also spoken of as one of Peter's chief disciples. He's called Peter's son. He says in 1 Peter 5:13, Marcus, my son, speaks of him. And many of the commentators feel that Mark's gospel speaks of what Peter told him. It embodies the record of what Peter preached and taught about Jesus. And so some have even called it the gospel according to Peter, because he was the one who gave the information to Mark that he might be able to write it down. So this gospel then was written primarily to the Romans. And so the audience that Mark was speaking to primarily. For this reason, he explains the Jewish words and the customs that his readers would not know. Now, you know, Matthew, for example, quotes a great deal from the Old Testament and speaks of all these Jewish things that the people understood. But Mark, writing to the Romans primarily, explains those words, and he does not give forth very many of the Old Testament prophecies. He does quote here two scriptures at the beginning, here in verse 2, where it speaks, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is taken from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and speaking there of the ministry of John the Baptist when he came to present the Lord Jesus as the Savior. The second one is in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, which it says in verse 3, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This was what Isaiah had said, and these refer to John and his ministry, John the Baptist, rather, and his ministry. He was to prepare the way of the Lord. We spoke of that somewhat last week as we were looking in Isaiah chapter 40. And here we find John coming forth and proclaiming the way of the Lord. He came, as it says in another place, in the power and spirit of Elijah. And Jesus said he could have been considered Elijah if the people had received him. John had no pretensions or ambitions for himself. God called him, and he obeyed. He preached the message, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 3, it gives a fuller expression of this. Matthew chapter 3, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So he had great success. People came from all over and were baptized to demonstrate their repentance and their acceptance of his message as he was explaining that the Savior was coming. That's what baptism is all about, isn't it? It's an announcement that says, today, Christian baptism, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and publicly identify myself as a Christian. It's an open profession of faith that we are admitting that we are Christians and that we are going to follow Christ in baptism. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here the Lord Jesus commissioned the disciples to go and to proclaim the gospel, to bring people to Christ, and to baptize them to show that they were followers of the Lord Jesus. And again, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, here we find Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and after he preached, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here we find the importance of baptism. It is our first step of obedience. We're not saved by being baptized. We're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation, his sacrifice for us. But baptism is important that we follow the Lord and we are not ashamed to admit that we are his people. So rather than glory in his success, John pointed the people to the Lord Jesus. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And here we find this in verse 7 of our text. And preached, John preached, saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am unworthy to stoop down and unloose. You know, this was the work of a slave. The people, when they would go, they have on the sandals, and as they walked, their feet would get dirty. So when they arrived at the destination, someone was to wash their feet as a sign of hospitality. And this was the work of a slave. And John says, I'm not even worthy to do this humble task for him. So he's showing the importance of Christ, and that he is not claiming in any way to be worthy of serving him. And he says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So his work, the work of Jesus, was so much more important than what John was doing. He was preparing the way for the king to come, preparing the way for the servant of God to accomplish his work here upon the earth. So we find the baptism of Jesus. It says in verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came and was baptized of John in Jordan. The first thing Jesus did when he left his hometown of Nazareth to begin his ministry was to be baptized. And why did Jesus need to be baptized, we might ask? He hadn't done any sin to repent of, and yet he said it was necessary. He says in Matthew 3:15, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And Jesus wanted to be identified with God's people, with those who were following the Lord, and those who were listening to the message of John. He's saying amen to what John is saying here by being baptized and accepting the message that he's bringing. So the Spirit then, the Holy Spirit of God, descends upon Jesus. Notice verse 10, it says, "And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." So here, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, and he is empowered to go and to do his ministry. Jesus laid aside his power, his outward manifestation as God, and took upon himself human form and was filled with the Holy Spirit to do his work. And then we find in verse 11, it says, "There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So this is one of those times when we find the three persons of the Godhead mentioned all at one time. Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and the voice of the Father from heaven speaks, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was, so God, you know, the mystery of the Trinity, right? We can't understand it fully, and yet we find that this is it. We have one God in three persons, and what a wonderful Lord he is. Then moving on, we find the next thing is the temptation that Jesus said. Notice what it says in verse 12, immediately. And this is one of the characteristic words that we find in the Gospel of John. Over and over again, it says straightway and immediately. There's a lot of action going on. More than all of the teachings of Jesus, it speaks about what he did. And here, it says immediately, "The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." So Jesus is under the control of the Holy Spirit, right? Just like we should be as Christians. The Holy Spirit has come to live in the life of the Christian, and we are to be obedient to his leading. And here, Jesus is following that, since the Spirit is driving him into the wilderness. For what purpose? Notice what it says in verse 13. "He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." So, he speaks here very clearly of what is going on. Satan, the adversary, the enemy of God and of all that is righteous, the one who is seeking to thwart the purposes of God, he's seeking to tempt him, to cause him to do something wrong in order to overcome the good things that Jesus was going to do. In Matthew chapter 4, it gives a more detailed account of this. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." That's the other name, Satan, the devil. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," so he went without food for 40 days, "he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So we find, we find here Jesus using the scriptures to combat the devil. Satan sought to get him to sin against God, to do something independent of God's will, and Jesus refused, and he said, no, this is what is written in the scriptures. He's quoting here from the book of Deuteronomy. In each one of these times that he speaks and stays true to his Father in heaven, and who is seeking to do God's will. And notice what Mark says, that he was with the wild beasts. That's interesting, isn't it? Out in the wilderness, he was with the wild beasts, because he had no fear of them. He's their creator. He had authority over them, and he was not concerned about them at all. And when the testing period was over, we find the angels came and ministered unto him. Excuse me. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angels came and ministered to Jesus, just like they minister to believers today. Whenever we have something in our life that needs to be taken care of, many times angels will help us. I know there's all kinds of stories of what angels have done, and we don't know many times whether or not it's actually true, but the scripture does tell us very clearly that they do minister to believers, and so we can have another advantage, the angels coming to help us in our times of need. So this is just the beginning of the story here in the Gospel of Mark. We find as he's telling it about Jesus and what he went through, coming in when he was about 30 years old, beginning his ministry, being baptized, and then being tempted of Satan, and getting ready to go out and to proclaim the gospel. He said he came to do the Father's will, and to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus came to save us from our sins, that we might have eternal life. And he offers that to us today. Anyone who has never put their faith and trust in him can call upon his name and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need to be saved. And I would pray that you might come into my life, change me, and make me your very own, and I'll be your servant. So this is what it's all about, the beginning of the gospel. We'll be looking at other portions of this as we go through the Gospel of Mark, but I hope that each one of us will take these words seriously, read through the scriptures, and understand what he's saying to us, and that we might walk in obedience to him and profit spiritually from the journey that he's giving to us here in this wonderful gospel. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your grace to us, and we thank you for your word. The word that we've looked at this morning and all of the scriptures, we thank you that you have given to us to profit us, that we might be able to serve you in a better way. And we ask you, Lord, to fill us with your spirit, to give us wisdom and understanding, and to keep us in your care. Dear Father, we pray for anyone today who has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that this might be the very day that they would come to know him as a personal Lord and Savior. May your will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name.